The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Hello, Happy New Year. Today is January 1st, 2012, for those of you listening live. And obviously some other day, if you're listening to the recording, welcome. And we made it. Made it to 2012, the year of great change, according to many predictions. And before we go further into any of that, let's connect as consciously as we're able at this time. And to start with, let's go in. Connect with the divinity within us, as always, to open up into experiencing ourselves at the highest level. So, however you choose to do that is perfect for you. Perhaps focusing on your heart and just opening up to allow more of your divinity in. Make that your choice right now. And allow your breathing to be deep and easy. Let go of the worries, the cares, the issues that might be up in your life. And bring that divinity more fully through you, throughout all of you, your physical body, your emotional body, your mental body, your entire energy field. And even to expand that out and allow that to flow more fully into all the relationships that you have. And just feel that easing of any tensions in those relationships as your divinity comes to bear, bringing the energy of divine perfection, divine timing, and pure unconditional love. All right, and speaking of those relationships, let's open up to the relationship that's at the core of us being here as physical beings, which is our connection to the Mother Earth. And allow yourself to open to her and bringing those energies, her love up into your energy field, into your body, into your life. Just breathe her in. That support that's always there. She's always with us, always beneath us, always supporting us. Always cradling us, you might say. And just let yourself feel, again, a washing away of levels of worry, stress, etc. She's always there for us. She's always there abundantly for us. And it's up to us to open to allow that in, to choose to receive. And we can do that more fully as we have opened to our divinity. We've opened to that sense of of our worthiness more fully, because we're here to receive because we're divine. not because we've earned it, not because we've had to do anything to receive it. And she's here to give to us, and us to her. And so just allow that flow of your love to go down to her as well, that exchange of energy that is at the core of every relationship, including this core relationship. Wonderful. And let's reach out to further relationships now, and specifically to the relationship with all of those beings, our guides, our angels, our spiritual teachers, all of those beings who are not currently in a physical body and yet who are with us to support us in our empowerment, in our self-mastery, in our awakening. And so just allow yourself to open to their presence. And you might do that in your heart, you might do that in your third eye or your crown, or all of those places, or none of them, whatever works for you. But breathe into that presence of this group of beings who are here supporting you right now and always. And once more, allow your own energy, your own divinity, your own love to go to them, because it is about relationship. It is about connection. All right. And so let's reach out now again to yet another level of relationship that we all have, and that is the community of those of us who are joining together today, or at least through this recording. Those of us who are walking toward and into our mastery, who are choosing to look beyond the boundaries of the limitations of the physical dimension and open up into that greater experience of divinity, both within ourselves and within each other. And so just allow yourself to open to feel the connection of that energy that we have together, moving us forward, supporting us. It's not, even though we may be sitting by ourselves listening to this or expressing this, as my case may be, we are not alone in it. We are walking together, and there is that momentum, that energy of doing this together, of coming into communion, of coming into community, that provides another level of support and another level of movement as we move forward. And so just breathe into that and feel that energy of connection and support, and allow yourself again to give energy into that, to give your divine energy. It's not taking anything from you. Rather, it's about choosing to give, choosing to participate, choosing to co-create. And so even as we choose to open to receive, choose to open to give as well. Give of that divinity that you've expanded into, that you've allowed to flow more fully through you. And thank you for that. And let's take that out one step further into the community of all those who are walking this path of mastery at this time on planet Earth, whether they ever will connect with this radio show or this particular episode of it. Everyone out there walking this path is creating that momentum, creating a mass consciousness of energy that is about self-mastery, moving forward into our power, and thereby aiding everyone to do so, or at least offering support for everyone to do so. So again, let's just allow ourselves to breathe that in, to breathe in that momentum, to breathe in that next level of support in this movement forward, in this pathway of self-awakening and self-mastery. And once more, allow your own divine energy as well to flow into that, to feed it, even as you're being fed by it, to feed it, is to give energy back. And it's only magnified. As we come together in community, that which we are creating is more than just the sum. It's more than just adding things together. If this energy could be quantified, and we call what I'm giving one and what you're giving one and what every other person is giving out there one, it's not just the addition of all those individuals so that if there's 3,000 people, it's a total of 3,000. Rather, the energies magnify as we bring our intentions together, and it becomes more. It's multiplied. And again, exact numbers are irrelevant, but just know that whatever you give, by giving it into that community energy, by giving it into that mass consciousness energy, the whole thing is multiplied. So instead of 3,000, it becomes 30,000 or 3 million or whatever the number might be. Again, that's irrelevant. But what that also does is it provides a greater well for us to drink from. Even as we give, what we give is magnified and we're able to drink back even more in response. And so allow yourself to feel that, open to that support, and allow yourself to give freely to that, because that is one of the tenets, one of the places that I believe that we're going energetically on the planet now, is toward a community of conscious co-creators and toward a community where it's not built on the old paradigms of self-sacrifice, but it is built on the paradigm of self-conscious choice to create together. So, thank you for joining in all of that and opening up in that way and adding your energy in consciously. As we step into the new year here, and I hope you had a wonderful New Year's Eve, whatever might have been your chosen expression of that, your chosen experience of it. I know I did. Had a group of people here, did some drumming, did some intention setting, did some burning to clear out some of the old energies, what we would choose to leave behind. But I want to step in here now to talk a little bit about this idea of the new year and the energy and the societal or mass consciousness versions of what that looks like and how we can make the most of it. Because, well, I'm going to go back to last week and the channeling that came through and wish each of you a happy birthday. It's not only New Year's today, it's your birthday, because this is the day right now that you're giving birth to yourself from this point forward, as is every other day. And so if you didn't happen to hear last week, that's kind of the core of what the channeling portion was about, was that we each have an opportunity every day to create anew, to make choices, and in the making of those choices to change our lives. And one way to do that is to think of that idea that this day is my birthday. In other words, I'm giving birth to myself today. And I really, really love that. That was a significant, for me anyway, shift in how to approach things. Because it really brings to mind that idea that, yes, the birthday is marking everything that's come up to this point. Because that literally is at least in the West, how we celebrate birthdays. It's, oh, I've been here for 30 years, so or whatever the number might be. I've been here for this many years, and I can, well, I can celebrate that I made it this far. That's kind of the essence of it. But there's also that energy of, I get to start again. And that's what that energetically was bringing in. So for me, New Year's kind of has that same energy of reset. We get to push the reset button and start over. And that's underneath this idea that a lot of people choose to make New Year's resolutions, where they're going to change their life in this way and this way and this way. And they're very specific, and often they're very significant. And often by the end of January, they've fallen by the wayside completely. And I don't particularly, and I really haven't, because I didn't grow up with a goal-setting mindset. I haven't particularly chosen to make New Year's resolutions. But for me, at least in hindsight and now by conscious choice, the reason I don't make them is because they seem to be about trying to force the issue. And they are focused on what is flawed. In other words, where we perceive ourselves failing in our lives, that's where we're going to focus this energy to make great change. But for me, that's kind of the opposite of how change happens. Yes, the initial triggering often is through pain. It's often through something that's gone wrong. The impetus to make change is, oh, my health is failing, or my relationships are failing, or something else is going wrong in my life, or I lost my job, or I lost my best friend, or I lost my partner, or, again, an infinite number of specific triggers of pain. And it's that pain that puts many of us, if not all of us, on the path in the first place. The need to make a change to get out of that. And yet, if we maintain the focus there on the pain, on what's wrong, on how we're failing, it's going to take us much longer and be much more difficult to actually create the change we're desiring. And one of the cores of why I'm doing this show in the first place, why I'm offering this, is to help make that shift so that instead of focusing on what's wrong, it's about seeking to go in underneath and connect with what's right. In other words, to connect with the truth. And that's why, well, from the beginning, I was doing each one of these shows, starting with making those connections, but why it was such a significant piece of clarity to shift the beginning of these shows to the way they are now, which is focusing on connecting to our divinity. In other words, focusing on the truth that's underlying whatever might be wrong on the surface in how we perceive it, whatever might be the limitation, whatever might be the failure. And so it's from that perspective that I would like to step into this exploration of the new year. Of the idea of the new year, of setting those resolutions, or as I would prefer to choose to do it, setting the intentions. But one of the things that would be different in how I would choose to approach it, rather than doing the resolutions and trying to force it to change, I'm going to use my will, not my free will, my will, to make this happen. I'm going to overcome my habits of overeating or procrastination or whatever, or smoking. I'm going to overcome my laziness and I'm going to go work out. I'm going to overcome. And that's not free will. That's about judgment, as far as I'm concerned. If we weren't judging the thing as being a failing, as being a bad thing, as being something that's wrong with us, we wouldn't step into that energy of trying to force it to change. And so, for me, coming into setting intentions is a gentler way. It's not saying that I'm a screw-up or a failure, I've messed this up in my life. Rather, it's coming from the perspective that everything that is not the way we would like it to be in our lives is essentially that way out of energetic patterns and habit patterns of emotion and thought that we learned somewhere along the way. And they were learned as coping mechanisms for the fact that as coming in as an infant, coming in as a divine soul into a physical body where we don't have control of our lives and we cannot exert our free will. We can't choose. The best that we can do is cry to try and get our needs met. We can't actually get up and go to the kitchen and fix the food. We can't change our own diapers. We can't change the room temperature. We can't jump into someone else's arms to get a hug or to ask for a hug directly. And so we learn these ways that are essentially energetic manipulations of the circumstances. And essentially, they are ways of complaining I don't like something about what's going on right now, so I'm going to cry. And we bring that imprint forward. We bring that imprint forward. And even as we learn to speak, and we can become more directly able to influence our lives and get the people around us to give to us what we need. For most of us, that was still not very empowered. It was still not very direct, but was a form of manipulation based on pleasing. Yes, I'll be a good boy. How many times do you hear that? Be a good boy, be a good girl, from a parent or a teacher or a caregiver, a grandparent, in talking to that child. So that is the ideal that we're supposed to live up to. And yet, built into so much of that, especially in this realm, the Western worldview, is the idea that we're not. Call it original sin from the Catholic version of things, the Christian version, those traditions, from the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. Doesn't matter what the underlying story is that's told, there's been this underlying belief that because we're in the physical dimension, there's something wrong with us. We're not good enough. And so even though we're convinced, we're programmed, we're taught to try and be a good boy, to be a good girl, to do the right thing, underneath that teaching is a basic assumption that what we do is never going to be quite good enough. It's never going to be enough to prove finally once and for all that we are good. And that, to me, is embedded in so many of the ideas about setting these New Year's resolutions. It's that, okay, here's my time to fix my failures. Here's my time to try and overcome. Here's my time to finally become a good boy or a good girl. And it doesn't work. In the channelings, and I've come to believe this very, very deeply, they talk a lot about that. There is never enough that we can do to prove our value to that underlying belief that we're not good enough. That because we're in the physical body, we are flawed. And that is what makes stepping into mastery so difficult. Because it's not about accomplishing something to step into mastery. It's about clearing away these programs and the experiences that have been layered on the programs throughout our life of all the things that haven't gone the way we desired them to, of all the times when we haven't been the good boy or good girl, of all the times when we haven't lived up to that ideal, that perfect, impossible human who's actually good all the way to the core. Because that underlying, insidious program of the very fact that we're in the flesh means we're flawed and we're doomed to fail. And even in the Christian teachings, it's only by the grace of God that we can come into being saved from our failings. Well, that last piece is actually true, but not in the way they teach it. It's not through the grace of God, that being outside of ourselves that in the Christian tradition is the old white man with a long beard, looks like Solomon, or one of the Old Testament biblical patriarchs. Rather, the way we come into our mastery is through the grace of the divinity within us. And so again, that's what the start of these shows is about. It's about opening to that grace. It's about opening to the value that is inherent in us as divine beings. Now, taking this to another level, I'd like to touch on some of the ideas. And these are embedded in most every of the major religions. And I would imagine many of the minor ones as well. But to touch in upon the ideas about divinity that are expressed out there. And from Catholicism, there's the big three omnis. and I think, maybe I'll even look in the dictionary here to see what it says, what omni is. I believe omni is overall, basically. It's the everywhere, everything. Don't know if this dictionary even has it. No. It does not. But the big three in Catholicism, which is where I was raised, so it's the foundation I have to go on theoretically. Omnipresence, meaning God is everywhere. Omnipotent, meaning God is all-powerful. And omniscient, meaning God is all-knowing. Well, what I'd like to do is start with the first one of those, omnipresent, meaning God is everywhere. Well, I would go beyond that and say it's not just that God is everywhere, meaning the location. God is everywhere, like, you know, if you go to a street corner, God's going to be standing there, etc. But God is everywhere, meaning everywhere is God. Everywhere, anything, any physical location, any physical object is God, is divinity, including our own physical vessels. And so it's not just about stepping into and connecting with that we have a divine nature and a physical nature, and those two are at odds and at difficulty with each other, but rather that our physical nature itself is divine. Our bodies are divine. And it's about opening to the experience of that. And so at the beginning, as we are connecting with our divinity, and expanding the experience of it, it's not just that we're bringing our divinity in to the physical. It's that we're awakening it within the physical. In other words, it's kind of like Rip Van Winkle. Our divinity, or at least our awareness of our divinity, has been sleeping. And now it's time to wake up. And kind of like Frosty the Snowman. Every time Frosty wakes up, he says, happy birthday. And so we're back to happy birthday, the new beginning that we have that opportunity for. And so perhaps, again, a way to approach this is every day is our birthday. Every day is a new year. In other words, every day is the start of the next year that we have. And whether it's labeled on the calendar as changing or not, it doesn't matter. On July 15th, that's a new year that runs from that July 15th to the next July 14th. And so that opportunity to start anew is with us, not only every day, but every moment. But happy birth moment might be a bit extreme. You wouldn't get anything done if you're continually just telling yourself happy birthday or happy birth moment. So putting it at that level where we can give ourselves reminders on a daily basis that everything starts fresh today. This is a day for choices. This is a day in which, yes, all of our past has already happened, including yesterday. But I am not stuck with doing the same thing I did yesterday. And that's actually one of the reasons that I believe we have New Year's Day celebrations, New Year's Eve celebrations, why we have parties for our birthday. It's not just an excuse, but rather when we come together and we do an experience that is not an everyday experience, it helps to break the patterns. And so again, another piece of how we have ended up as a culture with this idea of New Year's resolution and making the change and starting it today. Why would this day be any more powerful than any other day? Well, for a lot of people, because they did get together with others. They did use that amplification of group energy. Now, for many people, the celebration of New Year's Eve is much less about using group energy to step into their power than it is about using group energy to try to suppress the things that they don't like in their lives. Well, I'm going to drink until I can forget kind of energy. Or I'm going to party because these things I don't want to deal with. And so that can get distorted as well. It's not that just because someone does something out of the ordinary, that means that they are breaking patterns. But that is an opportunity that's amplified when we come together, especially in group consciousness with others who are like-minded, who are like-hearted, who are seeking this pathway of mastery, who are seeking to step into their own power and to shed the patterns of the past that no longer fit. In the same way that when we move from one grade level to another, typically we don't take second grade textbooks into third grade. We get new textbooks. As we grow, we outgrow our clothes and we get new clothes. Same thing. This is a process of growth. And in order to move more into our power, we must be consciously and regularly choosing to let go of the old, to let go of the ill-fitting clothes of old behaviors, to let go of the old mental ideas from last year's textbooks. And that's another piece of this. When it comes to making these changes. Because often, from what I've seen, from what I've experienced myself, instead of making the choice to let go of the old at the beginning of making the choice to step into the new, what we're trying to do is create a new behavior that's still layered on top of the old beliefs. And that's that energy of that force. I'm going to force myself to stop overeating or to work out or to stop smoking or stop drinking or whatever else it might be that gets put into that category. I'm going to force myself to do it, but I'm not letting go of the old first. Well, one of the things that, again, this has been channeled to a ton of people, a number of groups through the years, and it just resonates so powerfully for me, is that so many people, we get on this path to some degree or another, and essentially we do that opening in a similar way to what we do at the beginning of the show here, and we just ask for more. Give me more, God. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. And yet, there's a problem with that. Because if we're not making room for that more, then it's going to be like keeping the water running when you've got a glass under it that's already full. And let's say you filled that glass with ice cubes to the top before you started pouring water in. Well, this is actually a pretty good analogy. I've never heard it this way before. But as you're pouring that water in, some of the ice is going to melt. So yes, as we bring in more of the divine energy, it is helping to melt some of those old limitations that we have. But it's not this immediate thing. And just calling in more energy doesn't immediately erase that there's so much already in us that we're still holding on to. And so if we reach in and take out some of those ice cubes, we've got room not only to have the energy come to us, but actually to have the energy be something that we're able to receive. And there's a difference. Because when we receive energy, whether it's at the beginning and we're opening up to our divinity, or the energy from Mother Earth or our guides, or whether it's we're opening up to larger connection to the divine at all, whether we're opening up to receiving from another person, receiving, it becomes a part of us. It's not just something that passes by. It's not like the other cars on the highway when we're driving somewhere, where we're passing them or they're passing us, but they don't become an ongoing part of our reality. It's more like, well, we pull over on the side of the road and pick up the hitchhiker. Not that I'm advocating that. But from an energetic standpoint, we bring it into our lives that way. We take a moment to stop and to really become one with what's coming in. That's receiving. That's not just bringing it to us. It's bringing it into us. And so again, here's another piece of this. When we desire to make the change, it actually works better if we choose to let go of something first. A feng shui principle that I've used, I've heard from a number of different sources, and definitely has seemed to work in my life, is that if you really are seeking something, let's say a physical object of some kind in your life, one of the best ways to create the abundance for it, or actually to bring it in your life if you don't have the funds to just go out and buy it, is to get rid of all kinds of old physical things that are no longer serving you. And the basic rule, as I understand it and try to live it, is if a physical thing is not serving a specific function for you and serving that in an ongoing way, and I would just ask you guys all to take a couple of breaths. Thank you. Help the energy move a little more here. If it's not serving you, or if it's not something that gives you joy just to look at it, that it feeds you through its beauty in whatever level of beauty we're talking about here, not just physical beauty, but harmony or again, what that's defined as is irrelevant. But if it doesn't bring you joy in some way and it's not useful, get it out of your life, because everything that we own, we are in relationship with. And relationship is about an exchange of energy. So everything that we own, everything that's in our physical life that we own, we are continually giving energy to. And, you know, the basic law of this is if we're not getting use out of it, or if it doesn't just bring us joy by looking at it or holding it or whatever other way we might interact with it, then we're giving more energy to it than we are receiving back from it. And so that means if you want to have more energy in your life, get rid of those things that you're not using or that don't bring you joy. And, you know I have some hoarding tendencies myself. Not like the show. Not like the show at all. But I tend to hold on to things not because I use them now, but because I might use them in the future. And there's a degree to which that's okay if that brings you joy. If knowing that I might use this in the future brings me joy, then that's still okay. It's not quite as good as it bringing me joy right now directly or being useful right now directly, but that's reasonable. But a lot of people get carried away with that, and I have that tendency myself. So on a regular basis, not scheduled in the calendar, but on a fairly regular basis, I'm always going through my stuff and noticing, okay, these books don't resonate anymore. They're going to go away. And so that's another piece of this. It's about making room, taking those ice cubes out of that glass so we can put more water in it. Taking the old experiences of our limitation, of being the bad boy or bad girl rather than the good boy or good girl that we're so programmed to try to be, taking those past experiences and letting go of them. So we're not frozen by them. So we're not ice cubed by them into that limited pattern. And a wonderful way to do that is the energy of forgiveness. And the best way I know of that I've ever come across, channeled or otherwise, is I am willing to forgive myself. And just using that as a mantra. Because forgiveness is not about making what we did right or good, so to speak, but acknowledging that it is what it is, and we can't go back and change the action. So what we need to do is let go of the judgment of the action, the judgment that we have had with ourselves. And this is how we rebirth ourselves. This is how we give ourselves a birthday every day, is by letting go of the past. It's not that we have to forget everything. In fact, it's good to remember the things that we have learned along the way. But the one thing that we tend to learn over and over again that is not good to hold on to, that it doesn't serve us to hold on to, that it doesn't bring us mastery to hold on to, and we have learned it over and over and over again, is I'm not good enough. I will do it wrong. I will fail. I'll say the wrong thing. I'll do the wrong thing, etc. And that's in that initial programming, and it's not easy to extract it, but it's important to extract it because it really does make more room for us to experience the underlying truth. The truth is we are divine. We are masters. We are beautiful. We are powerful. We are loving. That's all in there. And to the degree it's not coming out, it's because we have these false truths, these false beliefs that we got programmed with, and that we then created mountains of evidence, mountains of experiences to confirm. And so this process, this path of stepping into mastery, is the path of clearing those out. Clearing out the specific experiences where I screwed up. Clearing out, even defining them as screwing up. They were simply what I did. It was the best I could do at the time with what I knew. And by all means, as with the 12-step programs, etc., if there's some amends to make, that's great. Take responsibility and make amends if there were other people involved. But it's not about making amends from that perspective in the 12-step program of I am unworthy, I am powerless, I can't do this myself. To stepping into the place of I am divinity and I'm opening into my divine power and I'm making choices from that place of divine power, and I'm letting go of my image of myself that is less than my divinity. I'm letting go of the images based in those experiences where all the pain lives, and I'm letting go of that pain. What is that pain? That pain is the perception that we're not the good boy, we're not the good girl. That pain is about not living up to the ideal. That pain is the pain of the unworthiness. That pain is the pain of the experience of separation from our divinity. And so this path of mastery is choosing to step into that experience of our divinity in a way that is more than we've ever done before. If I do this on a daily basis, if I open into this connection on a daily basis, and I have been for months now, on mostly a daily basis, essentially doing that process that's at the beginning of the radio show, I've been doing that on a daily basis, not just when I come together with you guys to do the show.
It makes a difference. And every day I do that, it opens a little more fully. And I release a little bit more. But that's an important piece to bring in, that letting go in order to make the space for the new. Rather than trying to force our way, imposing a new pattern on top. And this is even supported by the science. It's hard to create a new habit. Truly, physiologically, in the brain. Because the old pattern essentially, people talk about being in a rut. Literally, there are ruts created in the brain by the choices we make. And the more we make one, the deeper the ruts get and the harder it is to change. And so that process of creating change will be more effective when it's a twofold process. Not just trying to create new ruts over here, but also trying to clear out the energy of the old ruts, trying to clear out the judgment, doing that forgiveness, letting go of the idea that there's something wrong with me, that I'm a failure, that I'm not good enough, because I, and insert whatever thing you judge about yourself, whatever addiction you might have, whatever failing you might have, whatever thing you've not accomplished that you desire to accomplish. It doesn't make you a failure. It means you're not there yet. You're not in your power enough yet to manifest that fully, to create that fully, to choose that completely. And it is a step-by-step, day-by-day process. And so that to me is the perfect use of Happy New Year coming every day, of Happy Birthday coming every day. We get to take the steps today to move us one or two or more steps further into our mastery. And so I wish you, as this day continues and moves forward, I wish you many blessings and much power in that opening, in stepping into that self-mastery more fully, in stepping into that cleaning out of the limitations more fully. And let's go now and do some channeling. So as always, just allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning to bring in whoever would choose to speak with us, to be with us here today. So Hello, dear ones. This is Sekhmet, come to be with you today. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. And so today we would talk about exuberance. Exuberance. If you would make change of whatever kind, it does not matter. It is irrelevant what kind of thing or aspect of your life you would change. But if you would make change, make change. Be committed. Be exuberant. Don't be timid. In other words, embrace what you are doing as fully as you can in that moment. Embrace it. Commit to it. Be passionate that you would seek this change. The more fully you energize into your mastery, the more fully you energize into the releasement of that which no longer serves you, the easier it is. Because this is about using your energy to the greatest effect. And the more you come into it with the fullness,
with the commitment, with the openness, with the trust. And this is what it boils down to, dear ones. It is about the trust. It is about the trust in yourself. And you do not. To the degree that you still believe yourself, to the degree that you still experience yourself as this failed, flawed, fatal human being, rather than the expanded divinity that you are, rather than the magnificence that is in every cell of you, that is in every experience of you, that is in every moment and expression of you. The more you still believe yourself to be that fatal, flawed thing, the less energy you have to give to the change. Now, in and of itself, it is a process, and you are where you are. But we say to you, commit as fully as you are able. Bring the exuberance, bring the passion, bring the presence, bring the fullness of divinity that you can connect with, the fullness of your choice that you can connect with to this process. Do not be timid. Do not be shy. To the degree that you can step beyond those. Because those are energies that are holding on to fear. They are holding on to fear. And that does not serve you. If you have fear, feel it and free it. Feel it and free it. Say, okay, I feel afraid right now. Ha! But I am still divine. I am still divine. And this fear will not define me. This fear will not define me. I will choose to acknowledge this fear. It is here. I will not deny it. I will not suppress it. I will not try to say it does not exist. I will not pretend. But I will say, I am divine, and my divinity is more than my fear. And with my divinity, I can choose to move my fear. And then I can choose to do whatever it was that the fear was saying, do not do. Because in this world, there is little of true fear that is actually related to saving your hide, saving your life, saving you as a physical being. If you're listening to this, you're probably not living in a war zone where any moment a stray bullet or a bomb could take you out. And so, yes, accidents happen, etc. But most of your fear is not truly fear for the physical vessel. True, it is not about fear for the physical existence or the physical life or the opportunity to be here in the body. Rather, it is about the fear that you will fail at what you would choose to do. Or that if you succeed, it will change you in ways you do not wish to be changed. You will have to do other things. Your life will not be your own any longer. And that is also a fear of failure. Some label it as fear of success, but it's fear of the failure of creating the life you would like, even as you succeed with it. Comes with the cliche, be careful what you ask for because you might get it. That you cannot know in advance what it's actually going to feel like, whether you're going to like it. All you know is that right now it's what you desire, but you've known from past experience that getting what you desire does not actually fulfill you for very long necessarily. And so there is the fear that even in your success you will fail. Well, you will not magnify perfection immediately. You will not know that what you are creating now is going to be exactly what you desire. That is not the point now. You are not in this moment manifesting the end point of your complete mastery. You are manifesting the next step in your mastery. embrace the truth that that will not be everything you desire it to be. But that is not a bad thing, because it is the pathway of desire that awakens you to see the next step to take in your mastery. You cannot take it all at once. It does not work that way. You must build your energy system to be able to carry your light more fully. You must clear out these pieces in a piecemeal fashion. You cannot simply get rid of everything that is a limitation by snapping your fingers. The rules do not work that way here. This dimension does not move at that speed. And yes, this dimension is lifting in vibration, but it is still not going to move at that speed. This is still a process. But that is not something to be feared. That is not something to suffer. That is not something to look at as a problem, because it is creating the next stone for you to step on your path. The next placement for your feet as you move forward is built upon what is not quite right in this moment. What is not quite what you desire it to be. What is not quite supporting you and feeling your divinity. What is not quite. So not quite is not a problem. It is building your path for you. And so knowing that whatever you're putting out right now is an incomplete picture of the total expression of you living as the total expression of your divinity. That is freedom. That is freedom. That is freedom. Because it gives you the freedom to say, yes, okay. It's not quite what I desire it to be. But the next question to that is, well, what do I desire now? What is the next piece? What is the next thing to move? And that's what it is showing you, the next piece. Your discontent provides your path. You are not here to become fully content or fully accepting of what is, in the sense of surrendering to it and being stuck with it. You are here to accept what is, because you cannot change what is unless you accept that it is. You cannot change your life to the degree that you deny it is your life. The things that you are denying, you are holding on to completely, irrevocably, and forever. And so look to your discontent and embrace it to discover its meaning, to discover what it is telling you. And what it is telling you is to make change. And to make change, you must clear and you must open. And to make change more quickly, you must commit your energy, your light, your life to it. Not to force something new, but to empower it. To empower it from within. The more you are in your exuberance, the more you are in that passion, the more you are embracing the change, knowing that this change is probably not the final one. Well, then you can let go of the idea of perfection, and you can let go of the idea of failure. Because if you know what you are creating will not be the fullness of your heaven on earth experience, then how can you fail at creating it? You cannot. You cannot. So, let go of the pressure. Let go. And let the God Goddess within you rise up and roar. And roar. And roar. Self-expression in fullness and exuberance. Much love to you, dear children of the light. Namaste. All right. Thank you, Sekhmet. Oh, and thank you to each of you, and thank you to Doug, and you can start those chimes whenever you'd like. All right, well, thank you, my friends, for co-creating with me here today. Can't do it without you. And as always, I invite you to let me know your feedback, your questions, your suggestions for future shows, what you like, what you didn't like, what you'd like to hear more of. And we will unfold this together yet again next week. I'll be back same time, same place, on another birthday, on another New Year's Day, and it will be a week from now. I hope, I wish for you that this year of 2012 is your best year ever. That's what I'm seeking to create for myself. That's what I'm choosing, and that's what I would envision and desire for each of you. So thank you for joining me. I will see you again when I see you again, out there in the energies within. You never know where this is going to go, and you never know where you're going to go until you get there. So let yourself choose. Much love, my friends. Namaste.